This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Happy, beautiful, warm Sunday to you. For those people who went to the house of the Lord today, we want to say bless you as you blessed others, as you prayed for us, the sinners of the Bahamas, that all would be well and righteous in this great country. This is a program called Remark. For those who are joining us for the first time, we want you to call your friends, call your family and loved ones, and tell them to tune in today. We're going to share a very powerful presentation. This is a conversation I do believe that has been in waiting for quite some time. Today, we're going to look at politics in agriculture. Now, everybody wants to farm. Everybody wants to have a little backyard situation, throw a little peas and corn, and you want to grow some tomatoes and the such, but not everyone has that talent. Today, we're going to have some guests today with us. They're going to share some of their abilities with us, their talents with us as to how to productively farm in your space, whether it's your backyard, whether you have 2-3 acres in Andros, Eleuthera, Exuma, Abaco, Meguano, wherever you are, Acklands and Crooked Island. There's so many islands out there that has the ability to farm and cultivate. We want to get to the bottom as to why are we still importing $1 billion worth of food every year to feed the 400,000 people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But before we get fully into the program, as we're waiting one, two more guests with us, I just want to share an important highlight with you. This program, once again, is Remark, and we start every Sunday at 5 p.m., ending at 6:30. So you have time now to turn your football, basketball game down and share a little time with us. Call the family to the living room. Turn your radio on to 96.9 FM here in the Bahamas in Oaksville, and join us for a very lifting conversation here on Remark. We want you to be able to call in with us. The call numbers, I want to give those to you in just a minute. So get your pen and paper in hand. I can give those numbers to you. But we just followed Sunday Scotch Society with Quincy Parker. That's also a new program here on our new Sunday lineup here. If you stick around after my show, if you really enjoy Remark with me, the host, Garth Roseborough, then you will join us for Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T at 6:30 p.m. And then we have an all-new exciting program called Caribbean and Urban American Gospel Hits at 8 p.m. So if you still want a little more of that Holy Ghost jump-up feeling in your spirit, I'm not talking about the vodka or the Stoli or those other spirits. You want some of that Jesus spirit in you. Then you can join us at 8 p.m. tonight. And it's all a part of our new September to Remember for the fall season. Now, if you have your pen and paper in hand, very quickly before we really jump into this, like I said, lifting conversation, or I should say planting conversation, the numbers are here before me, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can call it 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259. And for you and our family of islands or anywhere in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you can call toll-free at 242-300-5720. For those of you who are shy and you don't want to call in, you can text to us. Our text line is 242-422. Then it's the numbers are 4796. That's 242-422-4796 if you would like to call in. Here is where we are today. Before we get fully into our program, I have in the studio with me none other than Ms. Whitlyn Miller. Miller, I understand, is the Farm of the Year. Is that so? Is it last year, the Farm of the Year?
Yes, last year.
You want to introduce yourself to us today for the program?
Okay, my name is Whitlyn Miller,
yeah?
CEO of Sunset Organic Farm.
Sunset Organic Farm?
Yes.
So when you say organic, yes, you're meaning the food that is no pesticides, insecticides, or how does the organic thing work?
The organic basically means you're not using no man-made material or synthetic material.
Wow.
You're using stuff made from plant-based or whatever it is, plant-based.
Wow.
Or natural uses, animal manure and all of that.
Well, you are a beautiful lady. You must be eating some good food on your farm. You know, if you want any good food, she's the Farm of the Year. You need to have a conversation with her and get some of that good, healthy food. And then I have I want to use the word comrade, but it may sound a bit socialist. So I'd say a family friend, a neighbor I've known for the years. He went to school with my uncle, I think Sam Ward, and those guys at Southern Senior. These young people don't know, but Southern Senior. But he's a strong name in the southern area of New Providence. It's Dorset with no E. So when you know the Dorsets with no E, we're talking none other when we talk agriculture, about the guy who, I got to brag about you a little bit. When I worked with him professionally, he was a huge instrument in the creation of BAMSI. Great proponent in that. And then, you know, I went to his house, and he wasn't just working with agriculture at work, but when I went to his home, he has such an impressive farm there. But Mr. Dorset, go ahead and give the people a shout out.
Well, good evening, Bahamians all over, all the way from Acklands, Crooked Island, Mariguana. If you can get the signal down there, we are so happy to be able to share with you today. We really are happy. I want to also not claim all of BAMSI, because our friend Godfrey Enius was very instrumental,
yes,
in the BAMSI program. But we work with him on that, and we are thankful for what we accomplished. And we're looking now at resuscitating, revitalizing, trying to see how that can get back on track.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you'll find that this program here, like I said once again, it should plant some seed in your mind. If you miss any of our programs, always feel free to go to Guardian Radio 96.9, to our website, guardiantalk.com, on the website, Guardian Radio, that is, guardiantalkradio.com. Or you can catch us once again at Rev on channel, 969, or BTC Flow, channel 612. So welcome to our program, and we just want to get a little instrumental going here. We're going to reset, we took care of our business, and we're going to go full force into our program today.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Banquet in paradise. Everyone dressed elegant, the ballroom fits up nice. The meal was served for a style you never seen, such a spread. And people from many nations, they lined up to be fed. The Englishman, he takes a fish and...
Oh, that's some great music. Eddie Minnis, I believe that is. You know, talking about that good old Bohemian diet, that good food that we eat. But amazingly, do you know that about 90% of the food that we eat on our tables in the Bahamas is imported? 90%. We're talking about a $1 billion import. Joining us in the studio as well today, I have another two guests for you. I'm going to start with Michelle Vinn. Now, I know you don't have no family with the last name Vinn, but I bet you some of you eat her food. So she's going to properly introduce herself, and then we're going to allow our other guest, someone that you all very well know. I'm going to leave that as a surprise because he's a special kind of fella. He likes his own space, his own thing. He's like the Superman of the Bahamas. But let's talk to Shelley Vinn first.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I prefer to go by Farmer Shelley because... A lot of times people look at me and be like, you know, you don't look like a farmer. So I like to lead with at least Farmer Shelley, you know. Okay. Vinn, yes, that's my grandfather. He was a Vietnamese. He's passed now, but I tend to go by that as an alias because it's in respect to him as he has a lot to do with my background in being an agriculturist. But my name is Fowler. And I'm known as a Fowler. I went to school here, was born here. Like I said, I do have Asian background and Indian as well. Mm-hmm. So that's where the Vinn would normally come into play, where people would be like, Vinn? You mean like Vinn number on a car? So that's kind of what it really stems to. But I'm back now in the Bahamas. I've been back so far for 5 years. I've been gone for over 20. And I've just been doing my agriculture over there in the States, just trying to learn, gain as much of experience and knowledge as I can, as well as the business aspects of agriculture and processing and all that good stuff.
Well, listening to you, I know we don't have enough time even today to get everything that you know. You've been all around the world and you got that Vietnamese in your blood. And you know that we get a large portion of our honey from Vietnam. You know, we got honey from Vietnam in the Bahamas. So welcome to the program. And then there's a guy who walks around town. He has a better cowboy hat than me, a bigger head than me, too. But he's my very, very good friend, very instrumental in my life. He's a businessman. He's a politician. He's a everything. He's a daddy of daddies. Innovative and all the rest of that good stuff. Let's welcome to the mic, Doctor. I can give you the term Doctor today, Dr. Reuben Ramey.
Hey, Jack. Arthur, it's a pleasure to be around here. And there's truly a sweet spirit in this place. I have a smell of all right people around me. And you know what? I'm going to snatch somebody's title who tried to say they bring in sexy to agriculture. You bring beauty and you bring sexy family.
Oh, Lord. There you go. Those politicians.
And so it's the truth. It's the truth. Because honestly, they think every farmer, rough, got to be rough under the nail, paralysis on the feet, you know, sun kissed in a negative way and everything else. But then look at you.
Because I remember one time I went to one function and the minister said, "You're not farmer. Farmers don't look like that."
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know how farmers supposed to look.
Exactly. You don't look like you miss a pedicure. You look like you get your beauty sleep. And see, so farming isn't something that you can have to look at as derogatory. I mean, anything in agriculture on the whole is the way you do the things you do. And actually, it's even more healthy for you because us, for wearing shoes from the time we get up out of our bed, slip our foot in the slippers, we're all across our tired goat, we don't even get grounded with the earth anymore. And virtually everything from our atomic makeup and moving forward is electrical. Mm. I need that grounding to discharge and to receive. And it gets to the point that that's adding up to the sickness with our kids. You know, I had a sister keep taking the kids to the doctor. They break it off like they have leprosy. Mm-hmm. And then they finally ask, say, these children go outside? Oh, no, no, no. I let them children go outside. They're going outside, had one big old burst, back down and cured.
Yes, yes,
because
yes,
the
yes,
things
yes.
that we experience builds up our immunity and everything else in the environment.
And you know, it's, they used to do that.
No, seriously. We self-medicated from growing up in Fox, sort of running through the bush. Right. We saved so much grocery money because by the time we leave sun up, with a bunch of us, the only rule is you ain't coming back without little God. All right? That right. man, we learn what to eat, what to drink, what to take, and we come back home for Sesame Street. That's 5 o'clock from must see sun up to 5 o'clock and no parents worrying.
Reuben can be here all day, open Parliament, close Parliament, open the Senate, close the Senate. But I'll tell you what's on my mind today, and I'm glad I have all of you here, and I want you to properly go ahead and present yourselves, because the people may want to network with you.
Yes.
They may want to follow with you and follow in your footsteps.
Yes.
I think Reuben has the largest shoe in the room. Mr. Dawson's foot may be a little bigger than mine. But I'm sure my foot is bigger than Shelley's and Whitlin Miller's shoe. I'm sure of
so. I hope so.
You know. But here's my thing.
Yes.
We are a people that love food, period. Mm-hmm. And we don't just like food or love food. We love good food, mm-hmm. like good tasting food, like food that when it goes to the plate, it has to look edible. We shy away from anything that doesn't smell right, or anything that doesn't look right. If you could allow a Bahamian to sit in a hotel every day and consume food, they would do it every day because hotels present their food and the room and everything is in place. But how serious are we as a nation about food? Is it a PLP thing? Is it an FNM thing? When the PLP comes in power, they have an agricultural plan, they have an agricultural minister, and then the FNM comes and they have F&M plan, and they have an agricultural situation where they want to promote farming. And then we have nothing left except for the manure that came from Russia the other day, and it sits in a trailer and goes to naught. What type of agricultural sense do we have? The one thing that sits at the bottom of my mind, I'll give you these two scenarios. I think Reuben is a beekeeper and all-around type of farmer. Like I said, Whitlin, you are great. I saw you had a big head of cabbage. That's cabbage I saw? On your
call it.
Oh, but you got to educate me with these things. And if you go to Shelley's yard, Shelley yard ain't got no wastage in there. You ain't get no crab grass or no Bermuda grass. Everything in Shelley's yard you can eat. And then Mr. Dorset, he has one or two little roses there, to, you know, for the wife to smell. But everything else is food in the front and in the back of Mr. Dorset's yard. So I didn't bring people on this show that was coming here to horse around. These are people who can actually assist you, help you, get you to the point of where you can actually be productive in terms of agriculture. Now, we've been waiting for the government to do some things, but here's a sad story for you. And I think, Mr. Dawson, you may be the senior person in the room that may understand this. In 1936, there was a farm, but not even a farm, a plantation, that was actually originated in Hatchet Bay, Lutra. Do you know that? It's called the Levy Plantation, right? This plantation, I got to know it in the days when the government purchased this plantation and was under, I think, 1975, the Bahamas Development Corporation, they took this plantation over, Hatchet Bay Farms. I actually was able to go to this farm as a child. I actually went there. I saw the cows and I saw everything that was growing. I mean, the chicken, the eggs. It gave you goosebumps. Even as a child, I could appreciate what I saw. It was a lot of hard work, but the product itself was just great. It almost seems to me, and I may be the devil's advocate in this situation, that here was a plantation that went from 1936 until 1975. Enough for a government to take over, and the second the government takes over, like everything goes downhill, like many of our buildings around the country, it dilapidates, it falls apart, it goes to naught, and then after that, we are watching a comedy show called Agriculture in the Bahamas. Mr. Dorset, you may want to first address that, and then we can move around the room.
Well, I don't really want to get into some of the details of that because I'm not very familiar with it. It goes back a little, predating me. I only was born in 1947. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the fact that Hatchet Bay, I remember the days when Claude Smith, who was a former director of agriculture, was the general manager at Hatchet Bay. And at that time, Hatchet Bay produced everything. I mean, chicken and eggs and all the milk you could drink. and they had these distribution outlets, came into the Levy building. You know, the Levy building is the old BAIC building, then the old Ramsey building. Now it's end up right on Shirley Street. It came with a dock, and so the boat used to come right to the back there, discharge all this stuff, and then distribute it to these outlets throughout Nassau. You know, there's some of them today. You can find the Levy distribution outlets. I think my friend, Friendly Palmer, has one as a legal office on East Street. That used to be an outlet up there by McCullough Corner. I think Mason's Edition, there's one on the corner there. But they had these strategically located, and everything came in, were distributed throughout the island, and people were able to eat, I mean, everything out of Hatchet Bay. But again, as you mentioned, that company decided to wrap it up, and they transferred or sold it or how it was presented to the government, and the government took it over. But at that time, there was no expertise to run a commercial farm. And so we saw it going downhill fast, and eventually it came to a close, and nothing remains on that site today to talk about. That's a typical example of a couple other projects that would have started. And I when I begin to talk about in the 70s, when we had the project in Andrews, Bartad, everybody knew the 2,000 acres that were cleared by USDA to help Bahamas with the agricultural independence, and they wanted to introduce a large-scale cattle ranch and sheep and goat farming. From virgin pine land to 2,000 acres of prepared commercial farming land, and today you go back there, you have a few farmers remaining. This would be the settlement where the Bartad farmers had some 40 acres or 80 acres. They went through a training program, and they were given this farm to really do commercial agriculture. Today, it is some of the same land that the new Bamsey is on. And so when I talk about the Bamsey project is a new entity, but it's sitting on lands that were prepared in the early days in the 70s.
Well, that's quite interesting. What I would want to know at this point, with all that you've said, I heard acreage involved in that. I want to ask Ms. Whitlin Miller, how many acres do you operate on right now?
Not enough, 2.76.
2.76, that's in New Providence?
Yeah.
Wow. And what are you growing on that 2.76 acres?
Well, I try to do my best. I know that summer is a hot month, low production. So what I did, I planted various fruit trees so that I could have fruits from all year round, especially all the fruits, like from June mm-hmm. to now, I'm still having fruits.
Fruits? Like what type of fruits now are you having?
I have guava, I have canister, what everybody
calls it. The guava with the worm in it or the guava without the worm? Because you're talking about organic stuff now, because the worm is organic.
No, the trick with the guava, you have to pick them a certain time before the worm getting it, and a lot of people don't realize that. They let it stay on the tree too long. So once you let it stay on the tree too long...
Because that's why I stop eating guava, you know. I get scared of the worm. I don't want no worms.
That's protein. That's close. You don't even see it. You don't even taste it.
Right.
You don't even taste it. And, you know, you plant things like canep, hog plum coming in soon, or hog plum is already in.
Yeah.
So if you plant strategically, you will produce all year round. And then I have my little small scale vegetable production and all that going on. I did a...
What you talking about? Tomatoes, lettuce.
Onions.
Broccoli and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Because broccoli is expensive. That's like about $7 for a little head of broccoli in the store, eh?
Yeah. So this time of the year, we can't have those things. Broccoli, cauliflower, it's too hot.
So anything that's coming in on the shelves now, the food store, where is that coming from?
Most of those, most likely, is coming from the U.S.
Import.
Some might be from Mexico or...
What?
Yeah.
So we're eating all kinds of stuff we don't know where it come from. So you're on 2. How many acres?
7.6.
7.6 acres. And Shelley, how much are you operating on in terms of you? Because when I went in your yard, I felt like I was on at least 10 acres of property. You got chickens and you got everything. Tell us a little bit about your organization and what you're doing. And I'm going to get back to Whitlin, but before I go back to her and Mr. Dorsett, I'll go to Ruben, because Ruben is doing something really exciting in his backyard. Mm-hmm. I only want a little small piece of Ruben's backyard, but we can talk about that off the show. Go ahead, Ms. Shelley.
Well, I would say my mansion...
But you in Centerville, you know. I can tell them where you was. You in Centerville. Who farms in Centerville?
Well, listen.
How could you farm in Centerville?
I don't even think that's Centerville. That's off Mackey Street, Jerome. Avenue area. Centerville is, we ain't even under the constituency of the MOA. Like, we're not in Centerville. We're not considered Centerville, so you can't put us there. We're more urban, so we like to understand, let people know that my setup right now, because, you know, we're still waiting on land from the government and stuff.
Waiting? How long you been waiting?
I've been here for 5 years.
And you've been waiting for how long?
5 years. Anyway, so, like I was saying, my farm aspect, we really do a lot of service, okay? So our service is really based on helping people understand what it is to be a sustainable farmer and really understanding that every part of your area, anything you have, whether it's a balcony, whether it's a patio, whether it's a covered carport, the fact is you can use every inch of your yard space. Even, you know, the parts of your home that you don't use. So it is an urban farm. We like to label it that way because we're in an urban location and we're trying to bring, I guess, more of an environment to that. So my major aspect in agriculture is permaculture. I like to understand how the management of things, especially your soil aspect, is and what will make things grow better and, you know, how to restore certain aspects. Like for us, we have a lot of flooding issues. So it's helping
people. In Centerville?
No. I mean throughout Nassau, okay. Throughout the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Like my thing is coming back home, we had so much increases in hurricanes and stuff. So my whole thing is trying to explain to our government about understanding our wetland aspects and how we can better plant trees that are not just like pine. Yeah, we need to put back some of them. I ain't gonna take no lie. We need to put back some of the pine. However, how about plants that we can actually feed our nation to help with food sustainability? So literally plants that are native, that have been around, that are native to this island, that's what we need to put back down because those would help us to secure our limestone. You understand? So that's what we really are, based on a service, but we do offer plants, seedlings, and other things like that. We do help you create living structures that are edible. So if you, like how you said, we do have chickens, and as you see, it is in a built living structure made out of passion fruit. So not only are we feeding our chickens the passion fruit leaves with its very nutrient and nutrient base for their diet, we're also eating the fruit, making juices, and also processing it and reselling
and
it.
All in one little yard.
Yeah, amen.
My God.
Every inch, vertical farming, horizontal farming. I mean, for the time
you hit, I surprised you ain't growing no vines on the fence.
Well, we are. You ain't see lately, eh?
What is that, passion fruit or what you got
no,
on the fence?
No, we have spinach on the fence, and we have cow peas growing on the fence.
Cow peas. Mm-hmm. People don't even know what cow peas is.
Listen, cow peas is great for nutrients to give new nitrates to your soil. They're a good ground covering, so you can plant that along with your corn. We having a lot of issues with planting corn and all that good stuff. It's because we don't have enough nitrates in our limestone.
Wow, wow. Yeah.
So
I love it. And you said something what is going to make this program go all the way to another level. You said something about helping the government. So you know when you talk about helping the government, I got to ask some questions about that. But before I do, everybody in the Bahamas knows something about Garth Roseboro. I'm your host here for Remark. That we have been instrumental in providing courses in beekeeping. But that could not happen with the organization that I was the CEO of, Goldstream Mamas Limited. There was a gentleman, and he's been introduced already. One night we were moving a beehive on the Eastern Road, and he shows up in this white car. I can't remember what type of car that was. Oh, but I thought he was about 5 feet tall the way he sat in this car. All he saw was a head, you know, just above the door of the car. He was leaning back, and he said, man, I came because, you know, I wanted to do this beekeeping course and learn some things with beekeeping. And we were doing this huge hive on the Eastern Road, and he came, and he actually participated. This gentleman also did something during the course. He had a box of bees and took the whole class without the bee suits and took us inside the hive, removing bees, removing honey, showing us inside the hive. So he never really came to learn from us. He came to teach us some things. But he was the first instructor for Goldstream Bahamas Limited in our beekeeping course. And I think we trained almost some 300-400 people. And he has continued doing so until now. He is one of the greatest, because I say one of the greatest. I said one of the greatest. I can't give you the greatest. I said one of the greatest so we could share this title together. But you know how we name it.
I got you.
But listen, I could do nothing without him. He is a brother to me. We have been through the trenches together. When they offered me to go to Trinidad, I said, you know what? I don't need to go. You go. When they asked to go to Eleuthera and Andros and, well, she went to Abaco and those places, I paid for everyone else to go, and I didn't get... I haven't been to Abaco yet, by the way. Nobody ever gave me a trip to Abaco. But I paid for, what, 16 people? Well, Ruben Rami, tell us about these bees that you have, because you probably have over 100 hives by now. But in your backyard, I saw at least 40.
Well, that's just my backyard. They're the ones I keep saying I can remove. And when I remove 10, I bring about 15. And I got for a patient wife, and that has actually caused a slowdown in our saltwater pool that we were building. So we'll have a pool to get swimming with lobster, fish, and everything else inside it, too. So after you finish looking at them, you fry a few, you know?
Oh.
practical husbandry. You know, but no, but glad you have been very, very instrumental. I think you were the first person that I can recall who actually thought it important to actually begin to train persons with beekeeping.
Yes.
In that regard, and that goes beyond. And your reach has extended literally throughout. I think the only one I don't recall is Anagua. I know Cat Island and Lucer, Abaco, all them other different places.
You've done
it all. And even when you had guests in, as related to your expertise, a lot of them is like, wow, why you bring us for?
But y'all did an excellent job. So today, I know we're going to have to take a break right now, but I just want to throw those numbers out to you. You can call in, talk to Mr. Arnold Dorsett. You can talk to Ruben Ramming, Ms. Whitland Miller, Ms. Shelley Fowler Vin, if I can say that, or Vin Fowler, which
yes,
way you want
I
it. Or Farmer Shelley.
Shelley.
Farmer Shelley. I can do what you say.
Easy, man, easy.
But once again, call in 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, or toll-free number 300-5720, or text us 422-4796. We're going to get hot in just a minute when you return with us here on Remark.
Cheese, roast beef, pork chop, rice, and black-eyed peas. He had cucumber, crab corn, corn salad too, potato salad, and coleslaw, just to name a few. Now when he passed, I asked him, said, oh boy, is that all? No, I'll be back for seconds, these plates are far too small. And he had 5 pieces of chicken, macaroni and cheese, roast beef, pork chop, rice, and black-eyed peas. He had cucumber, crab corn, corn salad too, potato salad, and coleslaw, just to name a few. People watch in amazement at what he eat. He belong in the Guinness record book for such a feat.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Print Masters. Print Masters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Kibby, you want some peas and rice? Kibby, you want some peas and rice?
No! Are we on now?
Okay, we're back. This here is Remark. I am your host, Garth Roseborough. And even while we were on break and listening to some of that good KB music, you know, all the meat, I know you fellas, I know how y'all go. When y'all hear meat, I don't know if you're talking poultry or beef or whatever. You know, I'm a good God-fearing child on this good Sunday. So when we talk about all the meat and the peas and rice, someone got to interpret that for me because everyone just started whining and dancing and getting happy. And I know we love food here in the Bahamas. And so we want to talk a little bit about agriculture, politics, and agriculture today. We had a lively discussion even while on that break. I heard Farmer Shelley, as she likes to be called, mention something about helping the government to go ahead and know what to plant and, you know, the benefits of planting in certain types of soil, etc. And I don't want to place this fully on her shoulder. I want to say this publicly from myself, that I've seen ministers of agriculture that have come to us as servants of the people. They've been elected in their constituencies. They've been appointed by a prime minister to oversee agriculture in the country. But as for me, I have not been impressed in my lifetime when it came to agricultural measures in this country. I'm putting that on my own shoulders. There was a time that we had an agricultural minister in the last administration. I'm not going to call his name because they always feel I'm picking on him. But most people in beekeeping know that I had what they call a national plan for beekeeping to put honey production and all the byproducts of bees to bring the bee into the Bahamas to go ahead and create nukes and export bees to places like Australia and America and other places. We had this national plan. We have all this land available. And the respect that I felt that was given to us was nothing short of just being totally disrespectful. I got no appreciation for all the hard work that I felt we did. But I understood one thing. God, stop crying. Pull up your socks. Put on your bee suit. This is what most Bahamians go through. They want to exercise an agricultural right. They want to look to a ministry of agriculture that can assist any Bahamian that's interested in growing anything. We're not talking just about medicinal marijuana or those types of things. We're talking about things as simple as, like right now, all this rain, there's shepherd needle all over our backyards. Does that have any value? What about how in Jamaica they eat what they call the callaloo? We got that all over in our front yard, but most people cannot identify the callaloo. We got all these medicinal plants, the love vine and the Madeira bark and all these other types of stuff in your front yard. What type of croton? Because, you know, if you eat the wrong croton, you finish. Correct. You know, you got some other plants. Some people eat hibiscus or use hibiscus for shampoos. Mm-hmm. There's so much ability to do some things in this country agriculturally that the $1 billion bill that we face every year, that means that every Bahamian now has an opportunity to be a billionaire. You do, but you got to know what to do. Farmer Shelley's doing it on a small scale. Whitney Miller's doing it to be the farmer of the year. I'm so proud of her that we got a female. See, y'all keep talking about what women can do, what women can do. This woman is speaking in tongues on the farm. She's growing everything, you know. And when you go into bamboo town, Mr. Lawson, you got gunny. Because ain't nobody's tea from your farm.
No.
I don't want to talk a little
That's
bit.
That's because I give away so much. They don't need to
see. Man, your food tastes good, eh? My Lord, I love your stuff. I bought some stuff from you.
You know, I just want to say, like today, you're talking about food. We don't use peas and rice anymore. I mean, me in my house, right? I had some squash or, you know, call them the zucchini.
Yeah.
And I mashed that up like into a mash, potato kind of mash.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some salad, some romaine, some iceberg, some what else? Just salad from the yard and a piece of fish. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Mm.
So, you know, we're trying to stay away from all them heavy carbs, you know, and diabetes today is so difficult. And they tell us that 90% of our diseases is going through our mouths. Mm. So we have to change our diets. And I want to remind us again, too, as I have the mic, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all to the glory of God. And that's how I like to farm. Mm-hmm. Farm with knowing that you're not contaminating the earth. You're complementing it. You're helping it to sustain so that your generation after you could still have something. We are managers of the earth and the land. And so let's manage it sustainably.
Well, I took a journey through my friend Ruben's yard. I'll tell you how that yard is. I ain't gonna tell you where he lived though, because y'all like to take things with them along to y'all sometime, right? But Ruben has two elegant trees, like regal trees in the front yard. They call them red Latanias, right? Beautiful trees, very expensive trees, right? That's a gift from me to Ruben. That's my brother. So I can brag about his trees, because I got the same trees. But in the backyard, Ruben's yard full of bees, right? But he never told me what was on the eastern side of his house. Now, I never suspected that anything was on the eastern side of Ruben's house. As far as I'm concerned, Ruben likes the fish. Ruben likes exotic plants. Ruben likes bees. But Ruben, talk to us, man. Where do you get this thing to do agriculture on the eastern side of your house? What's on the eastern side?
Foxhole is the first point where a tree, where the sun rises from. What we just need to appreciate that we need to assess our own yards and our own properties.
Yes.
And fundamental things, you know, the movement of the sun determines where you want to place basic things.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, where you live determines where you want to move. If you're living close to the water, plant canes. They're one of the most wonderful windbreaks that you have, and they're easy to maintain, and you could consume it in many different ways. Some plants need to be shaded. Like you, Farmer Shelley, we utilize the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Every tree is strategically planted. My wife loved making the soursop pie and passion fruit pie. And if she get a fruit from the tree of life, she'll make a pie of it. Seven kinds of different pies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And so we have them farm that we plant those things, and everything is utilized. Every tree is utilized. Everyone has its benefits. She liked the soursop so much that instead of, it takes too long for them to mature to bear. So the grafting is more appreciative, best use in that regard. So you get the age, the culture, and they'll be ready next season once you let them root.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some pots. The soursop tree is probably less than 3 feet high.
That is true.
And it has soursop, so
yeah, I saw it.
Touching the ground.
Yeah.
All right? And so there's a lot of things that you need to do. We are blessed with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And where we try to make money off imports, we are hemorrhaging money and lives through our healthcare system. And it's not just what's in the hospital, it's all around. The level of obesity in our students, in our homes, we see an increase in Alzheimer's, which also is related to diabetes, and inflammation, a lot of fun. The body is built and designed to defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, if you give it all you need, you will likely not even need a doctor.
That is true.
Unless you have a chronic health. So that's why I'm not against medicine. If your leg broke, you have to give her that dope, fix that leg, and then give it a calcium and magnesium and all that other stuff you need to heal.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's critical care.
Mm-hmm.
But sustainable care comes from us providing what we need. Living next to the ocean, big wash of tide. Now, sargassum is a seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plague or problem in many parts of the Caribbean.
Yes.
That's fertilizer for us.
Mm-hmm.
So a trip to the beach could put enough nitrogen and iron and phosphorus in your soil. Mm-hmm. You don't got to go buy these bag stuff. But you don't know where it come from.
We have a big project on sargassum.
Exactly. Yeah. You could get regular sun. It ain't got nothing in it but regular sand, which is parrot poop. You know that parrot
poop? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All sand is poop. So when I saw you on the beach that day, threw a sand up in the air, got and getting all your money. Are you so happy because you've been fishing? That's pirate fish poop.
Yeah.
All right? I just talked to you. So all the Bahama beaches.
So stop eating our pirate fish.
Stop
eating our pirate fish.
Yeah, pirate fish. Because they eat the coral.
Yeah.
Coral. And they eat it and digest. And one pirate fish could produce a ton of soil a year. Sand a year.
Wow.
Yeah, you ever seen them? You go diving. She's trails of poop when you're seeing them.
My lord.
That's sand.
And rubbing our toes.
And then you dance and then take pictures and then
Yeah,
I saw you that day.
And soil cannot be produced that fast. It take a million years probably to get so much soil. And you know, there's something, this what bothers me when I drive around this country. And I see people clearing properties. And they take all the topsoil and leave the parent rock. Uh-huh. Then they go and tell you have to buy curry to put on that. Mm-hmm. Then they sieve your soil and they sell it. Right now, guess what? That property wasn't flooding before.
Now
it's flooded because they take it so low.
Yes.
And that's why we are causing a lot of flooding. Mm-hmm. And I just get carried away. I just want to touch this.
Right.
We need to change our building code.
Yes.
Because what's happening in this country, the land is being destroyed.
Yes.
Excavated for curry. It's not going to be anything. When they start building all these buildings around here, where in the world are they going to get curry from?
Mm.
So I tell people, wherever you live in, if you have property out southeast, please go and check on it, because all you're going to meet is a valley.
My Lord.
I'll tell you this in the context of farming and soil enrichment. The greatest lie, other than folks will get to lose sleep during Fox Hill Day, is the fact that Bahamian get bad soil.
Yeah,
even our limestone as it is very mm-hmm. effective. But exactly what you mentioned is critical. When you're preparing your farmland, we see they stack up all the pine trees and throw it all that.
Mm-hmm.
If you get and you invest in a mulcher, and you mulch all of that and you shred it down, that's why I started with sand. Sand is almost worthless.
Mm-hmm.
But you mix that with that seaweed, you mix that with those leaves and the debris and those wood that you do up, you create soil quickly. Because as that begins
decomposing, it creates the right texture that you want.
It's complex.
Because the texture you may have may not be clay soil, for instance.
Water retention.
So you have to adjust that. Okay, sandy soil, you have to adjust that. So the water can retain in that, because the water just goes straight to the sandy soil. So it's a lot of things you could do. And when we talk about soil, sometimes these farmers are given properties where they should not be given
them. They just slap them land and get land.
Yeah, and what happens is somebody's properties may be high soil content. Mm-hmm. Does the farmer know what crop to grow?
That he doesn't.
Okay, but he could grow a lot. He could grow a lot of pomegranate. Find out. Let me grow some pomegranate on this farm, because pomegranate. Let me get all the variety. You could go here. And pomegranate bear, like almost so much times a year. You could say, there'd be a point where we don't even need to import that. One pomegranate costs like $5-6.
Yeah. So
why are farmers not taking that on? They say, okay, let me see how many pomegranate could grow on an acre of land.
Yeah.
I have 6 acres of land. Let me grow 1 acre with pomegranate. Mm-hmm. I know I could get that several times a year. Let me get another acre with passion fruit. I know I could get that several times a year. One passion fruit when it comes in the country costs some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same thing with star fruit. We could alternate
it
for these.
Nobody wants to do this work though.
But these are much easier. These are much easier crops to grow and less labor intensive than if you grow in your leafy greens. But at the same time, you can grow your leafy greens.
Okay,
in
so here's where we are.
You were right the first time.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Just for the audience to know, because sometimes we so comfortable talking on the level that we are, they don't appreciate it. So I just want to simply say this. That's why pineapple do good in the lucha.
Yeah.
It's the soil.
It's the soil.
Yeah.
And you and your part, you're going to go to your little house till you get your one or two, you throw it in the lucha, it shoot up and bam.
No time.
Right.
Because
what we're
speaking about is the foundation, which is the soil quality. That's all I want to say. So they can appreciate that.
Well, folks, it's a very interesting conversation. I'm going to throw out a question or two in just a minute, but I want to give you those numbers again. You can go ahead and call in. The lines are free. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, or our toll-free number, 300-5720, or text us at 422-4796. So I'm listening to you, and Ms. Whitland Miller, I got to ask you this question. You were the farmer of the year. I want to know, was your expertise ever invited to the table of the Ministry of Agriculture, or maybe the Bahamas Agricultural Industrial Corporation, or maybe BAMSI? And how do you feel about land allocation? I'm going to let Farmer Shelley chime in after you about the land allocation, because I'm almost certain she's looking always for more land. She wants to do several projects. But tell me, how does that make you feel as a prominent farmer in our society, one who has actually succeeded above all the other farmers to become the Farmer of the Year? Is that encouraging to you? Do you feel it's not politically to your advantage? Do you have some criteria that maybe you missed out on? You should have given support to a particular party? Or how does this thing work? Why do you feel that you're only on 2 point whatever acres it is, and you want more, is more available to you, is more coming to you? What can we look forward in the future from Ms. Lynn Miller?
Okay. Well, I've never been asked to sit at the table to discuss certain things. I found out earlier this year that I was selected last year to be on a committee, and I just found out this year, and it's a good committee headed by Mr. Godfrey Enius. So that's how I make a contribution towards that. But 2.76 acres is not enough. And not only that, the property that I am farming on, I have to stop production during the hurricane season because the entire property, 90%, was excavated for curry.
Mm. What?
So like when it in August 31st, it was flooded. June last year, it was flooded. When they had the king tide, then again in July last year. So my production actually stopped from whatever summer crops I have then. I don't plant. I don't want to take a chance until probably after hurricane season.
So, but is the government aware of this?
Well, I know I have made several, I made my point clear. The present PS, I have talked to him. Look like some headway is going on there. So I hope it comes through. Because I told him, he said, we could switch the property. I say, no, that's not feasible for me. It's not going to work. Because right now I have $1,000, thousands of dollars of value of trees invested in there. It cost me over, I stop at a point. It cost me over $30,000 to get that farm where I am now.
Wow.
Because it was excavated for curry. Then it was dumped on. I paid over, $5,000 just to move stuff. I reached a point where I saw the metal and I sat on the farm and people came to collect metal. I say, sweetie, you got to pay me for that metal. Because they were going to sell it. You know, so I did my best. And I like to contribute more like Mr. Dorsett could do. I assist farmers. I give them information. But the thing is, with the farmers that we have here now, a lot of them, some of them don't want to learn anything new. And some, I was doing this before you. But just because you was doing it before me does not mean you were doing it correct.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to learn to take that somebody may be specialized in an area. One farmer, I told him, you know, you could get more from your pear tree if you prune it back, prune it shorter, probably put some a little closer where you call density planting. So the height you reach, you don't have no bucket truck to harvest those things. So when they drop on the ground, when you go to sell them and they start to get ripe, the person purchase it, that could be a little soft spot first.
Yeah.
So if you keep that tree at least even 10 feet, you could go on a 6 feet ladder.
Because
you're more than 10, you're more than 4 feet. So you'll be able to reach all those, but you'll have more branches to get all that yield. The same thing with breadfruit. I look at it, I say, breadfruit is a very perishable crop. Very good crop. Why not take your breadfruit? You have the spacing. Get an acre of breadfruit, a half acre of breadfruit. Breadfruit produce, what, 3 times a year on the tree. You could, in one season, you could probably get about $2,000-$3,000 of value of that breadfruit. And at the same thing, you could take that breadfruit, process it, freeze it, and sell it. So when breadfruit finishes, people will purchase it from you. So farmers need to know value-added product and know what they can do. But I must say thanks to this new minister, P.S. P.S. Campbell, that's his name. I think that's it. He is working on something for me, and I tell him, listen here, I need something that was not excavated because it doesn't make any sense. I already spent, as I say, on record with the receipts, almost $30,000. I don't need nothing where I got to spend anymore. But what I have, because of my knowledge and my background, I know how to utilize the land to produce more, just like her. If you're growing corn, plant some beans on them.
Yeah,
so the nitrogen fixing, that. Then down to the bottom there, you could probably plant some little arugula or some other little crops down there, but don't need as much sun, and you 3-for-1. You see, you understand what I'm saying? So there's a lot we can do, but we need to take it seriously, and as far as land for her. Man, listen here. Government need to get serious. I'm sorry if anybody's offended. There are many people with crown land out there, and they're bragging, but they have 10, 15, 20 acres. Mm-hmm. My farm, 12 years.
12 years you've been there.
Borrow money from my life insurance, whatever you call the equity. Mm. After that, I spent all my savings to get it to where it is. And you was there 20. How much years? And you can't even walk through it because even to enter it, it's a jungle out there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
yes,
we need to go and get that piece of land, give it to Farmer Shelley. Go on your record book. Let's see. Every year you've been permitting, giving people farmers permit. You go on those people who go inspect the land. If they're not producing, you need to say, we give you 2 years to have this farm doing something. We want you to bring your record to us. We want to see what you're doing. If not, we are taking the land. Forget the politics. Those lands could feed people.
Well, you know, this is a common cry, a common story, but the difference in this story is that you were the farmer of the year. I think some type of respect should be given to a person like you as an example to others that would also like to be the farmer of the year to have some type of allocation and some type of benefit. Let's take this call on the line. Call on the line. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
We're doing wonderfully well. It's good to hear your voice.
Good, man. Hey, I love the sound of what I'm hearing. Just now I hear about taking land from people who are not doing anything with it. For the longest time, it has been an eating sore in the country. People take the land, they put houses on it, they do all these other stuff with it, except farm. The thing about it is, if you cannot feed yourself, you're at the mercy of all the big guys. So we grew up farming and fishing. We were told, you don't have to do this. You'll be doctor and lawyer and all these different things. Be doctor and lawyer and all you want. If you can't feed yourself, you're still at the mercy of other people. So the thing about it is, we have people who are capable now. Why is it that we cannot just pull these people together, form a cooperative, and let's work together to feed ourselves? Also, I'm going to say hi to my good friend, Pastor Ruben Raming, and Brother Dorset. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, caller. That sounds like our good friend Charlie there. Let me look at the availability of land, Shelley Vinn. Do you think that's political? Do you think that certain people, as Whitlin is mentioning, that some people have acres and acres and acres of land, they're not doing anything with it, while you yourself, you're stuck on your, you know, 75 by 100.
Listen.
Please don't say smaller than that.
But she's on 75 by 100.
I would say it may be smaller than that. I mean, let's be honest, that residential area, it was first in a residential area, but it was owned by the boroughs, so they had a significant amount of land given, you know, their last name. So that is a little big compared to your average. But that's probably accurate, the size that you stated.
Mm-hmm.
But that also includes a building structure.
Yes.
So you know to keep in mind now, it's pretty much like we have a full circle around that building. And
yes,
then that we utilize the walls, the fence. We create vertical aspects within it. And we create the structures on it from attaching things to it. So every aspect is used, from container farming to raised bed situations to drench to having the heap process. Yeah, you can name all under the book. I mean, let's be honest, that's just straight farming. That's what we've been doing. I mean, like I say, my father's side of the family is Fowler, and they are from Andrus. So farming has been in the blood since, who knows, and then he married a woman that's Asian descent who has rice farming aspects. So at the same time, growing in wetlands, growing in dry land, it was never a problem to say have that aspect. That 100-year-old property was always being fruitful in that area. We were the only residential that stayed around for 100 years. Now it's now commercial residential. But we're still now bringing the environment back by planting more trees because, you know, over the years, things have been taken away. And we used to have oranges, bergamot, which is a native tree here that's known for exportation for cologne. The oils from the outside of the bergamot. A lot of Bahamians don't even know that is something we used to export, not even import now that we do. If you want to make in the cologne industry, we have to bring that in. Why? When we used to, have it harvested. We also used to grow vanilla, but that's another story. But at the end of the day, we bring in so much of those things. But on your small 75 by 150 by 50, even a 10 by 10 spacing, you can create something that you can take to the market. So we work with a lot of local farmers that are on the family islands. I'm just coming back from Exuma. And to branch off on the aspects of the building code, actually the road code is also a case, yeah, because in Exuma, just coming back from creating, well, I wouldn't say just, it would have been last year, and I guess in the growing season of last year, you know, we planted a community farm. You know, the cameras and everything came out, but it was hellfire to try and get it off the ground because, one, you know, you don't have a good budget. Pretty much we did that thing volunteer. I mean, yeah, I had a paid trip and everything else, but you don't get paid doing certain things such as trying to do stuff for the community here. And that's a problem for me because where I came from for all those years, and I'm a foreigner in that aspect, and I was doing so much that they would give you a whole day just for you to be recognized. So in America, in the state of Florida, I have a whole day, September 28th, just to be recognized for my aspects of doing. Then you come home thinking, yeah, you could do something great. You don't need all that recognition. You just want to do something, you know? So at the end of the day, it's hard. And yeah, we can say take back the land and do stuff with it. But once you have the land, you now, as a farmer going in to say, getting and seeking out grants, go in and seeking out, you know, loan aspects. The fact is you're still a small business. You're working for yourself. So now you fall under the guidelines of needing to have specifics to fall and get the grant, to get the loan. You need a business plan. You need a financial proposal. You need all these aspects. And let's be honest, I've been to school for a lot of things. So I can generate those things. But what about your dear friend who's been in it for 20, 30 years still waiting and not getting the information and knowing that you need these things to get certain things?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So,
yes.
Yeah, I've been here for 5 years so far. But before that, before I left, while I was in high school, I didn't have to graduate because I was already making the grades where I was in college already while I was in high school. So I went to the government while in high school. I was told by whoever was the PS at that time that I needed to be in school. You're too young. Oh, you don't know what you're talking. You have no experience. All right, cool. So I started doing the work. I graduate. Okay, we got to graduate to start your life. That's a false inkling. There's not much kids now. If you hear from the Ministry of Education, they're doing certain things. So a lot of kids ain't going to be graduating really soon because they don't make it past grade 9. That's a lot. So we need agriculture more than just for food security. We need it for job security. All right. And if we don't change the mindset, we had a whole summer program where I fired kids.
I fired the children
that were being paid by the government.
Our little angels? Our little angels?
Unfortunately, angels fall from heaven.
Where did that came from?
Anyway, so like I say, I know where they came from, but I had to fire a lot. And it's not because of them being rude or, you know, just, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because
you love children.
I love children. I mean, my program is geared just for them. I work so hard, make whatever money we could make, and it funnels the program because we don't get grants. We don't get government assistance.
But you do invite private people to contribute.
Correct. Like, we have a Facebook group community. We have a WhatsApp community. We have an Instagram, and Instagram ain't really popping off. But we do have WhatsApp here in the Bahamas is a big thing. So we do have almost 200-plus people inside our little community group. And we have able to pass some of raise about $500. And we have cleaned up one of the properties that we're working on in Angleston. But let's be honest, it's so much more. I mean, that's over almost 200 years of dirt and trash that's been just piled up. We have pictures to show and
similar
share.
To what Whitland Miller's been through.
Yes,
to clean up a property.
I mean, listen, and the soil is so rich and dark, but it's contaminated.
Contaminated with Johnny on the spot, the more our houses or what?
It's contaminated with bleach bottles and batteries and refrigerators and anything you could think of. Just, and people are living around that. When we were over the summer, our kids were in that community after our camp. We ran straight with the government program kids, and we cleaned up Angleston. First and foremost, why they got fired was when they got there, it was like, oh, they were in suits. Okay, the government didn't tell you y'all was coming to agriculture, honey?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Okay, so first day was a buzz. You know, second time, they come around, I don't want to do this, but you still want to come because you want to get paid. They were getting paid $125 to $150 when we can't even get $200 to get garbage bags to put all the trash in.
Did you ask the government for a request for those things?
After I found out that the government summer program kids was getting between $125 to $150, I asked them, like, hey, are you aware that the program people need supplies? I'm not asking you for money. At least give me a trade-off. Give me some supplies so we could clean up the community.
You didn't get that help.
We didn't get no help. But we did get it from private individuals who source in the community.
Private communities, yes.
And the same kids who parents probably come from that community were like, oh, this is a bad area. I was preaching on a daily, per hour, per second basis saying, hey, if we don't go into these communities, we cannot make a change. I'm not going to say I'm an evangelist, but I believe in meeting people where they are.
Wow.
If we're
powerful.
Going to go and try and make a difference,
yes.
Then why aren't all these people who are talking about food security off their backsides and into the communities and helping us clean up?
That's a remarkable contribution you made.
Yeah, and I got nothing from it. The only thing I got from it was the understanding of, oh my gosh, we're a quarter way clear on this acreage of land that needs to be cleared fully.
It sounds like you were about to have what they call the social revolution right within the community.
I hope we're trying to fence in the area.
Yeah.
We can't fence in if you have like a big mountain of trash.
You still have more?
We are a quarter. Oh. The money that we raised only cleared a quarter.
Oh my goodness.
We need help. This is just one property. We still have Pinewood property to clear. And there we're trying to show an example for the government. Because, see, my thing is, you can preach. We've been doing for the past 2 years. My partner and I have been in the government offices. Whoever's willing to give us a meeting.
Churches, civic groups.
Well, we're not going. We went to the churches based on if people call us in to help their community. We'll do that service for you. We don't even ask for money, but sometimes they give it. We take it in appreciation for the junior farmers. And we take that money and we put it into the program.
Lovely.
Okay? Because the kids that come, first and foremost, the parents don't even really send water. Don't sell snacks, so we have to provide those things. Our community members who see us doing the work provides us with the funds, and we're able to buy those things.
Well, I like what I'm hearing. I think, in my mind, we've proven the worth of the people sitting at this table. You, the listeners, these people are not playing games when it comes to agriculture, when it comes to community building, when it comes to rebuilding this nation. There's something that puzzles me before we go, and I don't see my phone's lit up yet, but let me see if this is going to get your attention. Why are we still importing foods that we can produce here? Why is the chicken farmer, the poultry farmer, it costs a whole lot of money, I understand, to produce chickens, organic chickens. It takes a whole lot of money even for agricultural exercises. And during the season, let's say you have an avocado season, you have a tomato season, what's another good fruit or plant that we have here? That's very common. Oh, watermelons here. But at the same time that our farmers are producing these things, we're still importing them into the country. Why can't we put a temporary stop on these items so that we can appreciate that which we already have here and then continue on after the season is closed? Mr. Arnold Dorsett, can you assist us with that?
In a system like that, it's very difficult to implement a tariff that, say, come on at a certain time and cut off at a certain time, because vegetable or fruit production, it's a season. If we have a known amount of mangoes, I mean, we have gluts of mangoes, but yet we import mangoes,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And you see the labels. Once they have a stick on them, they're imported.
Yeah.
I was at the food store looking yesterday, and I saw mangoes. We're still in mangoes. We have some late season mangoes. We've got some varieties of mangoes. You go to Pericles Malus, and he's got varieties go all the way to Christmas.
Yes.
So we can have mangoes continuously in the country.
We can.
But we somehow still allow the importing of certain things, fruits and vegetables.
Who's responsible for that, though?
Well, once you go to ask for a permit, the government will say, well, is it available locally? And if they say that it's not available, then they issue the permit. They don't want to make it difficult for the consumers. If the importers or the Bahamians want tomatoes and there's none locally, they're going to allow it to come in.
But I think when I sat at your desk at some time, I do recall a story about mountains of onions in Andros to the point where they never made it to the packing houses, but we were still importing onions
at
that time.
Those instances are very difficult to understand, right? Because we have local production, and the local production marketing is not moving, and so importers are coming. Lack of whatever. In some cases, the grading, the packaging, breaking them down into 3-pound packages as opposed to, loose. So we tend to find the import packages very convenient. You grab that, it came out of wherever, Rhode Island or up in the East North Coast, they just grab the 3-pound bags of onion. Here, we need to have farmers putting them in the 3-pound bags.
But I'm going to let Ruben chime in on this in a minute, because listen to what I'm saying to you. We are quick to import from the North now. I used to be a chip fan. I like chips, right? I'm trying to cut it out again. I somehow got hooked back on chips again. Because when you travel, you go in your car, you buy a bag of chips, and you're on the road, right? And so I like Doritos. I like Doritos. But you look on the Dorito bag, it says export only. Mm-hmm. Certain foods from America that's only for export. It's not for their own consumption. But we so rarely import Doritos. Why? Because we don't manufacture Doritos. And it's too expensive to do banana chips or plantain chips or anything that is healthy like that. So we're ready to import these things. But in terms of the what's in it, poisoning our people, as it's suspected, as it's alleged. Whereas in the Bahamas, there should be some agricultural police that can say Mr. Dorset's farm is kosher. Reuben's honey is insecticide and pesticide free. Whitland's her produce right here, it's totally organic. Shelley's products doesn't have any battery acid or any other chemicals or any human fecal situation going on there. And so we can pass these things and take them to market. So how are we so ready to accept everybody else's stuff, but we can't take our own people's stuff? I mean, watermelons in Cat Island, you're throwing them down on the ground. They're so big. I mean, they're huge and they're very tasty. No one is making them into juices. No one is making them into purees. Nobody's putting them in a boat to ship here to Nassau so we can have watermelons. But guess where we're going to ship them from? All the way from North America. How is that possible, Ruben Rami?
Yeah, it's possible because we have low self-esteem as a nation. We have
poor. But isn't that political?
I said as a nation. That's cultural. And I was getting to political, but I know your fire is still going. You see? So
go ahead.
I learned because I host my own show here at Guardian.
I know you did.
So I used to the privilege of the host.
Go ahead.
So
I am your humble host, and this is Remark. I am your humble host.
Here's my brother. Go ahead. Me and you come from dirt. And by the way, the best things God have came from dirt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that housed him came from dirt.
Yes.
The thing about it is, this is all a gimmick and all the farce that we're dealing with. It's all a mafferic cartel type situation.
Oh, mercy.
With the government tacit approval, whether directly or indirectly. Either which way, it's all a game that we're living up to. First of all, we got to look at this from the U.S. perspective. And I've had the privilege to be exposed to a lot of things.
I know you have. That's why you're sitting here today.
Even at one point in time, I've been the deputy director of the Price Control Commission. If I tell you what I had to do in Freeport.
My God.
And it get to the point to find out, I had to pull the person aside and say, brother, why are you in the pocket of these food stores?
Mm.
Anyway, I can leave it there.
Leave that alone. Yes, I heard some of the stories.
I can tell some of the things, and I say, you in cahoots. Going in the food store, looking at it, meat and tunas and other things. Yeah. Why all these out-of-date things on their shelf and stuff, and you all try to do that? Anyway, I say the gimmick. First of all, we're dealing with, and I'm glad you raised the point that was on my mind, we are getting garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how sexy the hotels make it out to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's just garbage with perfume.
Mm.
Now, some of the high-end ones would buy certified products and bring them in at the price because they get people who are paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
That you won't. We don't regard ourselves. The United States is the world's biggest dumper of food. Well, where you say the honey come from?
Vietnam,
but Vietnam is contaminated by the 70% adulterated honey from China, which they banned and from shipping to the U.S. and other parts of the world. So they send it through those countries as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you still get it. That's why you buy your honey from here. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, you're jacking yourself up. You're getting corn syrup and all kind of mixed adulterated things. You don't even know what it is. And all you're looking at it, once it's clear, you think it's honey. But these brothers are so sharp to sell you the mixed garbage you see in China. They get cabbage look real.
Yeah.
Rice that is plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken that is injected to make it look plump and all kind of foolishness.
Yes, yes.
And you're poisoning yourselves. And this is what our people adjust. That's why I asked with Bee Masters, we don't mix nothing.
Correct.
If at all our many hives in different zones, if we got a make up a gallon, we don't take zone one and mix zone two. You know what we realize? The value. The value is that every ecosystem produces a different flavor and different medicinal value to a honey. And so guess what? Our clients used to it. They know what they're getting. And if they want to, they could come and we could spin it off in the front of their face, show them the video. We do many videos where we show persons, you could look at the frame and see the different coloration patterns of the honey in one frame. And I say, that come from this season and this type of trees. And then that's lit, that season, that blossom switch off. And then they start refilling with this from the pigeon plum and the kamalami tree. Mm-hmm. That's why you see it come out this color down in here. Mm-hmm. And so people value that. Yeah. We get dumped, and like I said, the United States is the worst culprit all around. And we fall for that because we want cheap, 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 and not realizing the one thing needs to be cheap is healthcare.
That is true.
All right? And so at the end of the day, we find this happening. Europe is one of the best places because chemicals that are in the food that you look at, banned in Europe completely, but accepted in the U.S. Correct. As long as they don't kill you immediately. So if trace amounts, yes, if trace amount of this toxic chemical is in there,
It's fine. It's okay. It's traceable
because you could eat it for 3-4 years and don't die.
Okay. But you get in Europe, that's if they FDA, find that,
they say
FDA.
No. FDA they say no. And then they're right there, but they're farming. Their farming is subsidized. That's unfair trade practices. And they subsidize it heavy to the point now they start dumping even now. So the guy produces a monocrop of corn, he produces all that, and 70% of corn go for feeding animals. That ain't good for the cow because that's not good for their digestion, and they don't blend it to make what they need to do. So your beef quality is bad and jack up.
So if we all understand, I'm sure Bahamians do, because people that say, oh, we can call this show in today, because we talked about marriage and sex last week, and we had a good time with the demon within, and they like that type of talk.
Let me tell you this.
This is a serious conversation.
If you don't get this right, you can't race. you don't see, you get to the point, you go for dry eyes, and the drugs say the side effect is heartburn, indigestion, diarrhea, erectile difficulty, and your left leg may drop off. But that's okay, your nose can stop running.
Right.
You see, things in nature don't have those adverse effects. Mm-hmm. Most of the vitamins that we buy and purchase, you take it and you pee it out. Why do you take a pee tar and go? Because it's not water soluble and it's not digestive in your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many of our vitamins come from byproduct of chemical processes.
Correct. Wow.
If you find out those chemical processes, what the heaven is this?
Yeah.
Byproducts of sewage system. They take the sludge off top, turn that in, produce that, and fit it in the vitamin for you. See, just because you get a chemical formula that matches the structure of calcium or phosphate. Don't make it proper for your body.
So they're selling you this,
but it's a chemical that cannot be absorbed and used, and it's having an adverse side effect. Plastic, destroyed the whole food chain. Yeah.
Plastic cabbage, plastic lettuce, plastic rice.
But it even go worse because it's diabolical. It's the systemic chemicals that's in there that's killing us now. Now you see the average high school girls look like a college babe.
Yep, they do.
So the testosterone level through the roof. And where's it getting from?
It is all of that,
the antibiotics and everything. So we got to make a decision ourselves, you know. Either we could pay small to keep ourselves healthy or find that cancer come up and we got to sell our house, our land, everything else, and our children. Our young children are having diabetes and all kinds of diseases that's tricking them off. I mean, preschool children.
They dying from heart attack.
Listen, in the 30s and shows, in the 30s and 60s, diabetes was something they never seen. I say seldom seen, never seen.
Yeah.
At the advent of the canned foods and everything else, and convenience causes us to have a problem. There's even a psychological effect for you eating canned food and a home-cooked meal.
Let me take this quick call here, Ruben.
Family get together and eat. That benefits society, just eating around the table. We don't even eat around the table. We sit down. Get to know each other, talk about that day no more. You sit down, go in your room, stop, and get your phone on. You run to Wendy's, you pick it back up. You get convenience, but at the end of the day, you end up with a suffering in the long run that puts you now on disability.
Yes. Caller, go ahead. Let's see what the caller's saying. You have a call on the line?
Yes, good evening to you, God.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, man, congratulations on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, good evening to your guest.
Good evening.
I just want to say, firstly, that I appreciate what the lady was saying. I hope she gets as much assistance as she needs to pull off what she's trying to pull off, because I really enjoy listening to what she had to say. Mr. Rahman, I appreciate what you do with the bees. You know, I sometimes watch your little videos on Facebook. I enjoy watching them sometimes, how you deal with the bees, et cetera. I wouldn't mind one of these days, if I could even do that one of these days, you know, you inspire me to try that. You know, but what the young lady was talking about, and then what Mr. Rahman was talking about, and then God mentioned that God was talking about politics, and Mr. Rahman started to talk about certain things about it being like a game type thing, right? And what's interesting about that is that I agree with him 100%, because it all, everything rises and falls on leadership, you know? But what's interesting about it is that Mr. Rahman was once in government before, right? So, like he said before, he has seen things and he understands the inner workings of things and he sees what the problem is, right? Now, what would be good is if, because I've never seen it, right? What would be good is we could see someone who was in government before, right? Who understands what the problem is, who understands that it is all a game, right? It'll be good, and it'll be integrity, you know, it'll be integrity-based, because it'll be something that shows that the person have integrity because they see a problem, so they do the right thing, that when they come out of government, right, that they fight against the very things that they saw inside that's a problem, because if you're outside of government, right, and you know it's all a game, but the game's still going on, but you're still minding your own business, not trying to fight against the game, then the game's still going on. You know, it would be good to see someone who was in government before who understands what the problem is, because it all rises and falls on leadership. If we had leaders in this country who truly cared about the things that the young lady in the studio is talking about, we wouldn't have a problem. If the government gave her the support that I feel as if she deserves, we wouldn't have a problem. And see, the thing about it is that if she was able to do what she was able to do, then the country would benefit, because like she was saying before, it's not really about just food security, it's about job security. So if the government cared about it, the government would support her, because then in them supporting her, she would be able to empower and make way for others. So like I'm going to repeat myself, because like I said before, Mr. Rahman, you said yourself it's all a game, sir. It's all a game, Mr. Rahman. It'll be good to see an individual like you who has seen the inner workings and the problem come out and try to fix it. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. God, good luck on your show, eh?
Thank you so much. Now, you know, this show is really just about the heat up. And I'll tell you why we had this show today. Because I told you we could never really complete this show. We have a number of guests here. They're all extremely qualified. And you will be seeing these people again based on their availability. I've asked Mr. Arnold Dorsett to sit with me on shows that he's available so that you can have what they call an agricultural moment. If you want to hear more on beekeeping, backyard farming, or you want to become the farmer of the year, you can go ahead and let us know. You can text to us on our text line, 422-4796, and let us know that that is your interest. If you're having a marital question or a relationship issue, once again, you can go ahead and text us. For those people who would like to sponsor the show, you want to give your business some notoriety. I know it's a Sunday, but this is a family program. It's called Remark. You can feel free to sponsor the show. Get your small business name out there on a Sunday. I will do my endeavor best to ensure that you get the best marketing available. As you know, Guardian Radio 96.9 here in the Bahamas, we are number one when it comes to caring about you and your business. And so if you want to go ahead and sponsor, I'm going to give you the number really quickly, and then I'm going to allow the guests to close off with remarks. Any phone numbers they'd like to throw out if you want to support them with business or you want to network with them to assist them with their farm. I think that's a good way to get started. Just visit their farms and assist them and see how they do what they do. And then you replicate what they do, and you too can become the farmer of the year or an instrument in a community. Or you can learn how not to get stung by bees. I get stung all the time. Or you can have a lovely yard like Mr. Arnold Dorsett. But here's the number really quickly. 302-2375. That's 302-2375. Or you can call 302-2363. Those numbers again, if you'd like to sponsor this program, be a part of it, and have us to market your business, is 302-2375 or 302-2363. Let's go ahead with Farmer Shelley. You want to give some closing remarks quickly? We got just a minute and a half, 90 minutes, I mean 90 seconds, sorry, for each of you to do whatever you can do, get the attention you need, but we will invite you back again on Remark. Did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Thank you to all that are listening. I hope that I've touched somebody who wants to create a backyard farming, food security, sustainability aspects. You can definitely reach out to me if you're interested in investing in or even sponsoring our aspects, our Junior Farmers Program, our Cleanup Community Program. You can reach out to us through WhatsApp at 805-4242. Easy numbers, that's 805-4242. Once again, thank you guys for listening.
Okay, thank you for inviting me. And anybody who want to get in contact with me, Sunset Organic Farm, you can find me on Facebook, as well as you can call me at 565-2273. I'm normally at the Gladstone Road Farmers Market on Saturdays from 8 to 4.
Beautiful. Mr. Ruben Ramming, want to give us some last minute information?
Yeah, it's an honor being around each and every one of you. And thank you for the time with Garth. Well, 242 Masters is exactly that. You could find it on Facebook, or you can find us all around. You Google us, we're probably one of the number one searches in that. We do a lot of apiary maintenance, apiary establishment. A lot of people are now interested in producing their own hives. We provide our pollination service for farmers. We produce the most exquisite ultra pro high grade honey, and we're able to grade our honey based on the viscosity, as you very well know. The water content of the honey determines it. Well, we know the science of the honey. And we want to thank all our client base who are also being with us diligently. We do all the extractions and rescuing bees, and we do everything according to the highest standard. We are master beekeepers, not just slam bombs who just coming around trying to do something. And people should know it takes engineering skills, structural engineering skills, especially when you have to be going into people structures and everything else to make sure they don't do any damage. What I do want to say, though, and this is part of one of the sickening things from the bottom of my heart that we need to do, it's easy to go ahead and say you celebrate somebody and get them a piece of paper, but you don't honor their sacrifice. How hard is it that if you can make it as farmer of the year, to sit down with you and with that give you the land that you need to do what you have to do? If you are qualified to be named the best in anything, you can't go and say, man, miss, here's some land. Yeah. Look at it if you like it. If you don't like it, we can find another one. Because you have proven yourself by calling you farm. This the garbage that I hate in church. I hate in everywhere else. A woman was a deacon for 50 years in your church, and you celebrating her, and she got a piece of paper and a flower. It's not that you want money. It's giving proper honor where honor is due. And whoever this is out there, because this ain't your fight, let me rap. You need to get your land as farm of the year. And any farm of the year supposed to have the incentive that other person will look forward and say, boy, I need to do what she do to get what she got.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Mr. Dawson.
Well, listen, this has been a pleasure to really be able to share this afternoon with those who are listening. And I know the callers didn't call in as much, but they were listening. You know, one of the callers wanted to know why we're not doing more cooperative production. And that takes a cooperation of a lot of people, but you can produce now as a backyard gardener, and you can do it well. So let's encourage individuals who are not doing it together yet. Let's do it as an individual gardener. I want to touch on why the ministers are not interested, but time is not permit us, right? They need to listen to the technical expertise. You know, when you come in from the outside as a minister, you don't have any expertise in agriculture. You have to listen to the technical people so that you can move to the next level.
Well, folks, we're smack out of time. This is Remark. This is Garth Roseboro. I see those phones starting to light up, but hey, we're just flat out of time. You should have called earlier. I don't know what's going on with your phones, but it's been a great time with you on this Sunday. Tune in next week, Sunday, for Remark. We're going to talk about community, religious or political. What is your community saying? See you next week on Remark at 5 p.m. Take care and be blessed.
Can't you see I'm starving gas all in my gut? I'll take a little bit. Man, I don't need a lot. Mister, I ain't playing. You ain't eat that thing or what?
Yes, man. Boy, I'm hungry for you, you know. Come on.
Pass up. Stop playing with the food, boy.
Let's go.
Nah, on the table he had a 3-course meal, and he won't even touch it. My man, what's the deal? He said, I ain't no rush. See
see, I prefer to wait. But boy, if I hold that, I'll be tablecloth and plate. Don't mean to disrespect, sorry for being rude, but it's been some time since I had some decent.